Well, Democrats and Republicans alike, Lee, in Congress, working behind Trump's back to block his nominees.
Yeah.
Yeah. Republican leadership's a mess. Donald Trump just blasted Senator Chuck Grassley. He said, who I got reelected to the U.S. Senate when he was down by a lot in the great state of Iowa, could solve the blue slip problem. He's got 150 nominees just backing up, everyone from highly qualified judges to U.S. attorneys. Says Chuck Grassley could solve it with the mere flick of a pen. Democrats like Schumer, Warner, Keene, Booker, Schiff, this is Trump writing on True Social, and other sleazeballs have an ironclad stoppage of great Republican candidates, even though they're in the minority in the Senate. They shouldn't be able to do this. Put simply, the president of the United States will never be permitted to appoint the person of his choice because of an ancient and probably unconstitutional custom that if you have even one person in the opposite party serving in the U.S. Senate who objects, he, she must give consent to the nominee, thereby completely stopping the opposite party's nomination, right? So this is one party objecting to certain nominees, and they'll block them, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, what I'm about to read you is going to explain to you why Trump's entire first presidency was a loss. It was a loss of time. It was wasted. It was stolen from him. Why so many, he either had to leave in place people who hated us, hate America, hated Trump, and worked to undermine him to the point where when he left office, they were waiting for him on his front lawn to raid Mar-a-Lago. That's how bad this was. That's how bad the people he had to keep around were, because he had a choice. Either keep the ones there who love Democrats and hate us, or try to run someone through the Senate and get them appointed. And he explains, because of this unconstitutional custom, he says, with even one person in the opposite party serving the U.S. Senate, you know, can block a nominee. He says, thereby completely stopping the opposite party's nomination. The only way to beat this hoax is for me to appoint a Democrat or a weak and ineffective Republican. Think Bill Barr. Wait, folks, we need to advocate. Bill Barr needs to be on the list of those tried, prosecuted, and put in prison. Because of what we learned, he's Trump's attorney general. He is hiding the laptop. And he quashed the IRS investigation into Hunter for money laundering, the one where they laundered $30 million in bribes from the Chinese and Joe took 10%. We know now the whistleblowers had all that. They finally were ungagged after Bill Barr left office and they could talk to us. They did this fall. He hid Hunter and Joe's crimes from the public, hid the fact that they had had the laptop since 2019. Senators were trying to get information from the laptop. Bill Barr was blocking them so that a profoundly compromised guy, Biden, could become the president. So where do we get Bill Barr? Well, he was one of the few that would make it through the Senate. Why? He hated Trump, hated us, hates this country. He's a Bush guy, so all that goes without saying. They're open borders people. Trump wants to close the borders, and so Barr's going to do whatever it takes to get Trump out of office. That's how we ended up with these absolutely horrendous picks. Because you're not allowed to have anybody work for you who is loyal to you if you're Trump. And he's wailing on Senator Grassley because he says with one flick of a pen, Grassley can end this and let these appointments through. My judges, my federal attorneys, all of that. And so he says, therefore, I would never be able to appoint great judges or U.S. attorneys in California, New York, New Jersey, Illinois, Virginia, and other places where there is coincidentally the highest level of crime and corruption. The places where fantastic people are most needed. Senator Grassley must step up like crooked Joe Biden did when he openly broke at least two times the blue slip scam. And like others have done over the years, let our great Republican judges and U.S. attorneys be confirmed. He should do this immediately and not let the Democrats laugh at him and the Republican Party for being weak and ineffective. Okay, so on the one side, you've got Charles Grassley, because of his committee chairmanship, needs to get the heck out of the way and let Trump put judges, real judges, in these positions where we desperately need them to stop the judicial insurrection. real. I mean, Lee, you can't just go clean out the DOJ like everybody wants Trump to if you can't replace the people in it.
Yep.
Now, on the other hand, and this is the absolute true evil that Thomas Massey has been pointing out. I mean, this is mind-blowing what's going on right now. On the other hand, Trump's going, well, okay, I'll do pocket appointments in the meantime, right?
Mm-hmm.
End of the year, he can do what's called a pocket appointment. If he does it within a 45-day window at the end of the year, which we're in because the fiscal year ends 3 months, you know, before the end of the year, right?
If Congress is not in session.
Right. If Congress is not in session, Trump can do pocket appointments with a lot of this stuff. And so he could at least get his people in place instead of people who hate us. You think the Republican leadership's going to let him do that? Do I even have to answer this question?
Yeah.
Here's Thomas Massey explaining what the leadership is doing. During August recess, Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune, GOP leaders allegedly, plan to call the House and Senate into session every 4 to 5 days with practically no one there for the sole purpose of preventing Trump from making recess appointments.
Mm-hmm. Circumventing the process. I mean, they're going according to the rules, but...
So when you have Republican leadership out there lying, quite frankly, to you, saying the Democrats are blocking these nominees and they're so bad, okay, well, let's pocket appoint them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, no. Speaker Johnson and Leader Thune, Republicans... The two leaders of the House and the Senate are the ones allowing Democrats to do the blocking.
Yeah.
Now, I've tried to understand why would you do something so evil? These two are bad guys. I have told you that from the beginning. Ignore the Jesus routine that Mike's running. He's full of crap. Ignore the aw shucks guffaw stuff interviews on Fox News. This is a real Mike Johnson. You watch how he operates. You can see what he is. He is Paul Ryan reincarnate. He's... You know, Kevin McCarthy, who was another really bad dude, incarnate. These are the last holdovers, the last dying gasp of the Bush regime and open borders lobby.
I get such a kick out of hearing McCarthy and now on Fox News sounding like he's such a Trump supporter.
He and Paul Ryan blocked the wall funding, blocked Trump's immigration agenda, successfully held it off, held off his tax cuts for as long as they could. I mean, these two are a disaster. He is so full of it. What a smooth liar, though. And I can tell the most talented liar among them all is Mike Johnson, man. That guy comes across as genuine. He is so good. I mean, I think he's better than Clinton. He is truly talented.
Maybe he should be up for an Academy Award.
He should. He should. So, I mean, can you imagine if he used that ability for good? I mean, wow, that would never happen, though. So what we need is people to understand what Johnson and Thune are doing. Now, what I've tried to get to the bottom of is why are they doing this? The word on the Hill is they're holding out for concessions from Trump. In other words, they want Trump to do stuff for them or allow stuff to go through or sign stuff. And they want to use the fact they're blocking all of his nominees to get what they want. What I don't know is what they want.
Yeah, exactly. Then that becomes the question.
I have a fear, though, that I may know what they want. I have a feeling, I have a guess. Let me put it as a guess, right? And I really like to bottom line guess for you, because if I don't know, I'll tell you.
Low confidence, huh?
Low confidence, yes. Kind of like an FBI assessment
exactly,
that the Russians are influencing the election.
Right,
low confidence, which is really no confidence. There's just not a lower rating. You know that amnesty bill that got filed?
Uh-huh.
That Trump was talking up for a while?
Right.
The one where, well, it's not a real amnesty. We'll just give him visas and let him stay.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually amnesty because Democrats will just give them voting rights later.
Yeah,
they'll amnesty them. They got to keep them in the country right now. That's the fight. Keep them here. Keep them here. Keep them here. Keep them however you can, so they don't leave. And they know if Trump starts giving visas to people in certain industries, those people won't self deport. And Donald Trump, the main way he's deported people is self deportation. There's been a million have left. Because they throw their hands up and they give up and they leave. You start handing them visas, they're not going to go. I bet you what they're going to trade, what they want to trade to Trump is, hey, you give us the visa amnesty for all these industries and we'll let you have your nominees. I bet that's it. But Trump can't. He tried to sell that to the base and they went, nuts on him. He had to walk it back. But like most times, Trump is caught between a rock and a hard place. Usually he can manage to wiggle out of it. But the way that we help him do that, if you use this show for show prep and you are one of, you know, those doing talk radio across the country, you need to explain this to your listeners, the evil that Johnson and Thune are doing right now to Trump, and tell him to get the heck out of the way. You are not reopening the Congress, you know, the House and the Senate every 4 days to keep Trump from making his appointments. Stop being evil. And the way we stop them from being evil is we let people know they're being evil. Well, the mainstream media is running the same hose job this week they were running last week. You'll probably hear all about it from your liberal friends. Trump has flip-flopped on Epstein. NDTV, Trump's flip-flop on Epstein diversionary tactics. Trump admits fallout with Jeffrey Epstein was because Epstein poached workers from Mar-a-Lago. Trump admits knowing Virginia Guffrey. We got him. Breaking news. Where did they go for this breaking news of theirs? And the big story on the left right now is Trump admitting that the late disgraced financier and pedophile, the now dead Jeffrey Epstein, poached workers from his Mar-a-Lago resort. Among them, the most famous Epstein victim of all, Virginia Guffrey, who did not kill herself earlier this year, but also did kill herself earlier this year. Now, the official finding is she killed herself. Her dad says, heck no, she did not. After she was nearly killed by a car, claims online she was given 2 days to live that because she was so extensively hurt, survived it, fought hard, but then changed her mind and killed herself or did not kill herself, depending on your perspective. Awfully convenient she's dead now, though. Anyway, because she worked both sides of it. She wasn't just a victim. She was a pimp, too. Should have been very helpful to have around right now. Anyway, the big breaking story on the left is Donald Trump has admitted that Guffrey worked at Mar-a-Lago, that he and Epstein essentially shared an employee. She was poached from Mar-a-Lago, and that's why they had the falling out. This is being described as a flip-flop. Breaking news! Breaking news! Trump employed Virginia Guffrey. We got him now! Do you really? See, because this is the same deal they were doing last week. This isn't breaking news. They got, you know where they got this? From their archives. From their archives. The testimony in the Ghislaine Maxwell trial in 2019, 2020, is where this actually comes from. Guffrey, on the stand, should not see her, accused Ghislaine Maxwell of approaching her when she was working as a locker room attendant at Trump's Mar-a-Lago in 2000 and later recruiting her for Epstein. That's per court documents that were unsealed in 2019. This is not breaking news. This is not Trump flip-flopping. This is not Trump, oh, we got him, now he says he knew her, now he is, yeah. No. No, none of that is true. Now, here's the other thing. The media is going, he knew her. They shared an employee. He admitted that she worked here and he knew Epstein and they had a falling out because he took her employee and the employee was Guffrey and she's a prostitute. So Trump must have slept with her. That's what you think if you're watching the left wing news right now. Breaking news. He admits he knew. Folks, this has been out there since 2019. I'm bored. But if, you know, I mean, liberal media, they're doing a hose job on these people. And why? Because, folks, we are entering the arena for the main battle. It's between the deep state, what they did on Russia collusion, the lies that they told. Think about it. the primary lie that served as the oxygen for the whole Trump is a threat to our democracy, right? Which was the basis of their objection to him, was Russia collusion. It was Trump and Putin, and they were trying to take over the country, and we were living through a coup. And remember all those articles about Democrats having to seek psychological help? They were terrified. Can you imagine if these sheeple ever figured out none of that was real, the bond that would break between them and their media, them and the leaders? They can't have it. So they are using Epstein to distract. But there's no there there. And they're so desperate to do it, they're going back in their own archives, finding stuff like this 2019 testimony where Epstein stole, poached, whatever, Ghislaine Maxwell recruited, say it however you want, Virginia Guffrey from Mar-a-Lago. And there was a falling out. Folks, I've been telling this story on the air for, gosh, I don't know, 4 years now. It's the story I keep telling you. Trump realized these two were recruiting underage girls from Mar-a-Lago, daughters of people he knew, and he got rid of his friendship with Epstein. How many times have I told you that story? This is that story. They've just dressed it up a little. Oh, we're going to get him now. We got him now. So if you're on the left, you think that this is a major admission from Trump, and you have no idea. It's basically four, almost 5 years old. It's the same play as last week when they came out with, oh, look at all these connections we've discovered between Trump and Epstein. Oh, looky here. Look at the letter we found. And most of the stuff they're citing came out of the Maxwell trial. It's old. It's not new. It's boring. Everybody knows about it. If they had anything, they'd have used it. Because that's how they roll. That's the way they play. Okay. Meanwhile, I just want to play you a small sample of how this is being covered. Here's Trump talking about Epstein Island.
And by the way, I never went to the island, and Bill Clinton went there supposedly 28 times. I never went to the island, but Larry Summers, I hear, went there. He was the head of Harvard, and many other people that are very big people. Nobody ever talks about them. I never had the privilege of going to his island. And I did turn it down, but a lot of people in Palm Beach were invited to his island. In one of my very good moments, I turned it down. I didn't want to go to his island. Yeah.
So he mentions Clinton, Democrat, Larry Summers, well-known Democrat. Now, listen what CNN runs with, how they cut out any references to Democrats going anywhere around Epstein.
President Trump says he never visited Jeffrey Epstein's private island. Listen.
I never had the privilege of going to his island, and I did turn it down, but a lot of people in Palm Beach were invited to his island. In one of my very good moments, I turned it down. I didn't want to go to his island.
So yeah, they cut out Summers, they cut out Clinton, they cut out the CEOs, they're all Democrats. Yeah, this is a game. This is a game to distract the sheeple from the Russia collusion hoax and the crimes created to create it. With that in mind, I want to tell you what's coming. Feel very confident about this. It's going to cause a massive swirl. The media knows it's coming. They're building up to it. Painting a picture of Trump is guilty somehow, some way in this Epstein thing. And here's how it's going to go down. Interestingly enough, Elon Musk tweeted this. Now, like him, don't like him, whatever, he's been right on the money with Epstein becoming a problem for Trump. He's nailed it like he knew something. So here's what's going to happen. Right now, Ghislaine Maxwell, the pimp for Jeffrey Epstein, human abomination that she is, she got a problem. She's 63, and she's facing the prospect of dying in prison at this point. Her last great hope, well, folks, honestly, 6 weeks ago, she didn't have a hope of getting out of prison. She had one appeal left, but it's to the Supreme Court. She's lost at pretty much every other level of the court. She's done. But then she got lucky because Democrats. And now she's got this one last great hope of not dying in prison, getting out. It's Donald Trump because he needs her right now. She is one of them. You listen to the last segment. They had a big falling out. Mar-a-Lago years ago. But Ghislaine Maxwell's a globalist. That's who she runs with. She runs with the people that founded Metabiota and Echo Health Alliance. That's weird, right? Weren't those the people who did COVID? Yeah, they were, weren't they? Weird. Yeah, they were all partners in something called Terramar, as were a bunch of other Epstein associates. It's weird. You start drawing these connections and it all fits together. Democrats. Anyway, Ghislaine Maxwell's one of them. Her natural instincts throwing her Trump under the bus. And people will be contacting her, I'm sure, in prison to encourage her to do that. And all she's got to do to honestly wreck the rest of Trump's presidency is say, oh, yeah, he slept with a bunch of 14-year-old girls. Yeah, I mean, I don't have any video. You have any proof? No. But he did. That's all it'll take. And she's willing to do it, too. Trust me. I mean, this is a woman who was indicted 2 times by the Department of Justice under, ironically, Trump for lying. They dropped those 2 charges and got her on the other 2. She's an inveterate liar. Not surprising for a person who traffics children sexually. So she think nothing of walking into Congress and destroying Trump. They'd love for her to. In fact, I'm sure back channels, they're trying to get her to do it. It's just, you know, hey, yeah, he was one of our clients. He slept with so-and-so. He was on the island 15 times. She wouldn't even have to prove it. It wouldn't matter. You know how it goes. You lived through years of Russia collusion, and that was fake. Boy, was that fake. I mean, by the time they were done, they claimed that Putin was delivering Trump's marching orders via messages from Alpha Bank. Pulitzers were won for that. Totally fake. Alpha Bank won in court. So you think this won't stick? They'll just say it till it does. And Trump hasn't helped himself by acting guilty in a lot of ways that really didn't make a lot of sense and were not too smart. So here's where we are. Ghislaine Maxwell knows the only way out of prison, she's not wrong about this, is to get a pardon from Trump in exchange for her exonerating him before Congress. That's the deal. Trump cannot change this. Trump is not guilty. If he was, or if they had anything they could use or prove, they'd have done it long ago. Be a lot easier than illegally manipulating the evidence, the classified documents case, which they did. By the way, all of the FBI agents who worked on that were involved in that should be in prison. But whatever. Instead of having to falsify evidence, you could have just used the real evidence in the Epstein case. But they didn't use it because they don't have it. So what they need is for Ghislaine Maxwell to go before Congress and make something up. It would tank Trump's numbers to the point that Republicans would begin to ignore him and do their own thing. Right now, he's so popular, they can't. He's got a grip on them. That's what's at stake right here. So they could effectively end the Trump presidency even if they can't put him in prison. But Ghislaine Maxwell doesn't want to die in prison. So she wants a pardon. She's going to get it. Either that or some kind of deal that gets her out of prison in exchange for her testimony or something. And the media is going to go wild when Trump has to do it, but Trump has to do it. And this is where Elon Musk is right, and he's warning about it. Here's what he tweets. Here's how it's about to go down. This is a Chiron. Here's how it's about to go down. Ghislaine names a bunch of Democrats, maybe tosses in a few billionaires. She says Trump did nothing wrong. MAGA, his supporters, praises her for taking down the pedophiles, and Trump pardons her for telling the truth. It's about to go down. That's why Trump's personal attorney, who is also now the number 2 at the Department of Justice, was the one to go in and interview her under oath. He came out saying, look, if she lies to me, we'll prosecute her. Why? You get her under oath. You get what her statement is so that you know what she's going to say when she goes into Congress. He withholds the pardon until she's done, then he pardons her. It's going to be ugly. There's no way around. She has all the cards. Democrats wanted it that way. Now, I guarantee you they're going behind the scenes and making all kinds of offers to her, offers that they, you know, probably can't honor. Like, hey, you don't have to not kill yourself. You can just, you know, say what we want. That's the fight behind the scenes. That's what's going on. It's a desperate battle. Now, what people aren't paying attention to right now, they should be paying attention to, there is a second desperate battle going on right now. And it's being fought in the courts of Florida and New York to get the sealed testimony of the 40 plus victims that James Comey's little girl, who unfortunately was a federal prosecutor, got sealed on behalf of the government to protect the Johns. So Pam Bondi is fighting to get that. Why doesn't she just release what she has? Because according to Trump, that has been compromised with fake references to Trump by Comey and Brennan and Obama, which would not surprise me. So what are they trying to get? The real unblemished testimony that has been inaccessible to Comey and Brennan and Obama out of the courts so they can use that to show Trump's nowhere in there. Now, what they're not telling you, yes, Virginia Guffrey worked at Mar-a-Lago. They're treating that as breaking news, very shocking. The primary Epstein victim. What they're not reminding you of, she's been accusing men for years and won judgments from Prince Andrew. She has never accused Trump, not once. She accused Alan Dershowitz and then recanted, and she accused Prince Andrew. He paid her millions. She's never said Trump did anything to her. But the Democrat media is pretending that they've just discovered the link between her and Trump, but they haven't. It's been in the court documents since 2019. I've covered it exhaustively here, but if you're a media, Democrat media sheeple, you don't know that. You think you're looking at breaking news this morning. See, the problem in Cincinnati, y'all, is not the beatdown that a white dude got when he rammed his head and his body into the fists of a crowd. On purpose, probably. When he slammed his body again and again into the concrete. Oh, wait, that was the crowd that did that. Folks online couldn't help but notice he was white and they were black. But what really cemented the brutality in Cincinnati was the white woman who everyone initially thought was with him or was a girlfriend or something, a wife, girlfriend, whatever. She wasn't. She watched him having the tar beat out of him. And she made the mistake of trying to intervene, of trying to say, stop. He, you know, like trying to help him because she thought he'd be killed. They yanked her into the street, body slammed her, left her laying there unconscious with blood running out of her mouth. But see, the problem, according to the liberal DEI-loving police chief of Cincinnati, is not did any of this happen. That's really not a big deal. No, the problem is that the media and social media are showing it, and Democrats don't have a good way of censoring it.
Social media and journalism and the role it plays in this incident. And yes, guys, that's you. That is you. Social media, the post that we've seen, does not depict the entire incident. That is one version of what occurred.
Uh-huh.
At times, social media and mainstream media and their commentaries are a misrepresentation of the circumstances surrounding any given event.
All right.
What that does, that causes us some difficulties in thoroughly investigating the activity and enforcing the law. Because what happens, that social media post and your coverage of it distorts the content of what actually happened. And it makes our job.
Well,
it
looks like a race war to me.
Go ahead, right here.
I mean, so it looked like a race war, like a group beatdown. But I guess that's not what happened. I mean, I guess it's not what it looks like, right? There's no context. So the reporter asks her, well, what really happened then that's not being shown on the video?
You had said social media and news media distorted the content of what actually happened. What exactly was distorted? I understand that there was one, you know, multiple views of the video, mm-hmm. but exactly what led up to this? I mean, what was distorted?
Yeah, so I think by the irresponsibility with social media is it just shows one side of the equation.
She doesn't know.
Quite frequently. Without context. Without factual context. And then people run with that.
Uh-huh. She never answers the question. That's the punchline. What's the context that's missing? Yeah. And all you get is shut up. Yeah, because they don't want it shown.